Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Bob Surratt.
Working 5 to 9.
On WGN.
5 to 9. You can do it.
7:40 right now, and it's time to check in with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. To hide or not to hide likes on Facebook and Instagram, that is the question, and Scott has the answer. So is this the end of likes on Facebook and Instagram? What's going on here, Scott?
Hi, Bob. No, it's not the end of it, but you're soon going to have a lot more control over likes. So Facebook and Instagram, they've announced that they're going to let users decide if they want to hide the number of likes that you see on people's posts. You'll be able to turn off that counter so you're not influenced by other people. You'll be able to turn off the counter on your own post, or you'll just be able to leave everything the way it is now. And the cool thing is you'll even be able to change your mind from day to day, post to post, however you're feeling that day.
Well, the question here is, why all this?
That's a good question, and there's actually a good reason. So giving people more control over likes, it's part of their large-scale, Facebook's large-scale attempt to reduce what's called social comparison, and that is the term for how we compare ourselves to other people when using social media. So a lifetime ago, back in 2019, Facebook and Instagram, they started hiding like counts for very small groups of people to see if they could find out what happens when this social pressure, forces people to, to rack up likes. You know, what happens if that's no longer a thing? And research at the time showed that social media platforms were actually contributing to people having increased anxiety and depression.
That's wild. So a like on Facebook or Instagram really has a lot of impact on some people anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And truly, you don't realize that until you think about how likes have changed everything online and just how far it extends beyond Facebook and Instagram. I mean, think about this, Bob. Likes are such an important measure of our popularity in the world today that people are purchasing them and they know they're not even real. There's just something that happens when you see the like count go up on a post.
And I take it those experiments were very telling because we're talking about a larger implementation years later.
Yeah, exactly. Back then, when they did these tests, users reported that a low number of likes made them feel inadequate. They would actually spend more time on their social media trying to fix these feelings.
Amazing. So in this case, it'll be up to the person to decide how to handle likes?
Yeah. It will be up to them. I think most people are going to keep it the way it is because it's easier, and we're kind of used to seeing that number count go up and down. But there are going to be some people out there who just want to post and not worry about what other people think.
They should do that with comments.
Truer words have never been spoken.
One thing I'm thinking about, though, with all this, what about businesses that post on Facebook, and for them, the likes are sort of an indicator of maybe what campaigns are successful for them, don't you think?
That is very true, but two things that I'll say to that. Number one, they haven't announced yet that this is for businesses and pages. They announced so far that it is going to be for the person specifically. However, to your point, I'm sure that it will eventually expand, and I think in that case, that is where the ability to make a decision for yourself is going to matter the most. You're right. Most businesses are going to want to keep those likes because it's going to tell how people are feeling and interacting with their content, but at the same time, if someone has a topic that's really, conversational, but, causes real, problems in society or something, political, something like that, they may want to turn it off.
Right. Talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, let's turn to the Facebook Oversight Board. Scott, you talked about this before, and I know something big is coming up. Refresh our memory again about what that board is.
Yeah, sure. Happy to, Bob. So the Oversight Board was created to help Facebook answer some of the most difficult questions that it has around freedom of expression online. So like what to take down, what to leave up, and why. The board's decisions to uphold or reverse a content decision from Facebook is binding, meaning Facebook has to implement them unless doing so could violate the law.
And they're currently deciding a very important case, aren't they?
They are, yes. They have been deciding whether or not to reverse Donald Trump's total ban from Facebook and Instagram. You remember he was banned after the events of January 6th at the Capitol, and the ban was always called indefinite. Now the Oversight Board, it has to determine when and how Trump might be allowed to return, if ever.
When are we supposed to know the outcome?
They say in the coming weeks. The decision was supposed to take 90 days, but they actually pushed it back recently because the board has to review more than 9,000 comments that it received about the case.
Wow. Yeah. So based on what you said earlier, if the Oversight Board says Donald Trump should return, then Facebook has to let him back on, right?
That is right, Bob. In the few cases that the Oversight Board has heard so far, they've actually reversed most of Facebook's decisions. So, you know, every case is unique, but it is certainly possible here that Trump will win.
And if he's back on Facebook and Instagram, will he be back on other platforms as well?
Well, that's up to the individual companies and to decide how they want to proceed. But even though the board has no legal power, it is a board consisting of 40 members from around the world. They represent a diverse set of disciplines and backgrounds. So, you know, there could certainly be pressure on other companies should the Oversight Board rule in Trump's favor.
Let us know a decision, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be big breaking news when it happens, so I'll be watching.
There's some news about Facebook and something called Facebook Audio. What is that? What's behind the decision to get into that area?
It's a really, really good question. They are actually releasing four different pieces that make up this audio thing. They're doing little things for audio called sound bites, which is kind of like if you think of like little video clips. These are video clips, but for audio. They're doing these things called Sound Studio, which is like you can record using like interesting voices. You can even record in busy places and it'll remove the background sound, which is like a really cool thing too. So it's very professional. They're going to make it so you can listen to podcasts on Facebook. Now you probably use other tools to listen to podcasts, but soon you'll be able to do it on Facebook. And the biggest thing they're doing is the part that you're also talking about why. It's live audio rooms. The biggest thing right now that people are talking about is this app called Clubhouse, where people are talking and doing everything in audio. Facebook is going to create their own version and bring it to everyone. That includes 1.8 billion, with a B, people who use groups every single month and all of the other active communities. The thing about Facebook is they always have the power of scale behind them. Mm-hmm. So everything that we know so far about live audio being a big thing is going to be so much bigger with Facebook doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting because it seems like all you hear about is it's all about video. Video is the thing. You got to have video on Facebook, but they're going to more audio.
It's amazing, Bob. We have been talking about what you just said about video for years and years and years. And I really think that 6 months from now, 1 year from now, that question will become all we've been talking about is audio, audio, audio. I think everything is shifting now.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, now it's time, Scott, for you to open your genius bar so I can ask my question of the week that everybody knows the answer to except me. And I've been fiddling with Dropbox lately, trying to understand Dropbox. And my first question is, if I want to be able to go to a Dropbox quickly and easily, I bookmark it, right? Is that what I need to do?
Well, if you want to go to the Dropbox site on your computer, then you would bookmark it. But Dropbox itself is either a website or an iPhone app that you can use. So the first step is to either bookmark Dropbox.com or use Dropbox on your iPhone.
One of the engineers here is helping me digitize some old tapes. I call it the Bob Surratt dumpster of memories. And so he set up a Dropbox and okay. Where he's putting all of those things. So I can bookmark that, right? Because he sent me that in an email, the Dropbox.
Yes, you can bookmark that. But if he is sending you the link, I think what he's doing is he's sending you the link to the Dropbox in the email.
Yes.
So if you were to click from the email, then you would go, depending on where you are, your phone, your computer, you would go to either Dropbox.com and get to those files, or you would go to the Dropbox app on your phone if you're clicking from there to go to those files. So what I would just do in that case is just save that email so you can always go back to Dropbox from there.
And if there are many things in that one Dropbox, and I just want to email one of those things to somebody, can I do that?
Yes, you absolutely can. Everything on Dropbox has a folder. Well, most things should have a folder. If you have something in a folder, just go into the folder, click on the actual item, and then you'll see a share button for just that one item. If you're inside, if you're outside a folder and there's just one item there, just do the same thing. Click the little button next to it that says share, and you can share that one item. You can share as many things as you want at once, or the whole folder, or just one item.
Well, I'll tell you, it won't be long before I'm on TikTok. You never know what will happen next with me. And let me get in. Hey. Let me get in this one question for you, Scott, that came from one of our listeners. Even though iOS usually is not prone to viruses, should iPhone users have an antivirus app or a phone cleaner app?
I don't think, that is an excellent question, first of all. I don't think you really need one on the iPhone, simply because Apple is really good about updating its software to keep that kind of stuff out. The most important thing on an iPhone is to make sure you always update your software when there is an update from Apple, because that's where those fixes reside. If you're using a Mac, the answer to the question is yes, you should use virus software. I really don't think you need one on the phone because of the tools that Apple provides.
Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, always with the good answers. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Anytime, Bob. Take care.